Your mom will not carry any resentment. Do you know why?
Why?
End of the year, why a nice parcel? Look at our mom.
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day. You have come and visit her. You've taken her in the car. You want to buy her some pizza. Take her to Accra Mall. Take her around. Let her enjoy a little of the money that is by virtue of in-law. She will forget about that 11-year-old. She will remember.
Do you guys still think America is going to host this World Cup? Mexico, I think. You don't think that? Wait, do you guys think that Iran is waiting for the World Cup to hit back? No, but I'm talking about retaliation. You know, I just thought about digital footprints, and I don't want to talk about this anymore. No, for real. Guys, I got an internship at Voice of America in 2014, and they denied me. And I often think about it, because if I had gone to work at Voice of America, this podcast would not have come on. I'm telling you for a fact. My accent would have changed within 2 weeks. And whenever I come to Ghana, I'll say, oh, you can't do this in the UK. I know I'll be pissy as hell. You guys. Anyway, okay, let's go for our first letter. Okay, great. This is a girl. What are we calling her?
Ajua.
Ajua. That was loud and very instant. Do you have an Ajua in your life?
It's my sister.
Oh, you said it. Oh, okay. They said no. So, next name. Cardi. Carly. Oh, they said Ajua is fine. Okay. West or South? Ajua versus Carly. Is that which one? Oh, you know, let's go with Ajua. Hey, let me tell you something. Okay, Ajua says, is it possible to be friends with someone who did not reciprocate when you shot your shots? My friend has this... Oh, wow, she's really laughing. My friend has this friend who I thought was really cool. He's funny and... Yeah. You know, there always has to be 2 degrees of separation. So that if the person is listening, it's like, yeah, it's not me. My friend has this friend who I thought was very cool. He's funny and very good looking. We met at a weekend getaway. And the kind... You know, let me tell you for something. I won't say much, but... Isn't this always... Isn't it the ground for some of the connections that you make that you look back and you're like, what the fuck was I doing? A weekend getaway. Next time you go to a weekend getaway, somebody's catching your eye, close it. I don't know how many of you have met people as weekend getaway and has turned out good.
Me?
You? You know what? Let's move on. The marking scheme is different. We met at a weekend getaway and kind of spent most of the time together. I told him I liked him and he seemed to want to be friends from the jump. Ooh. There's a part of me that still She's a philosopher instantly. There's a part of me that's still recovering from the consequences of believing I could make a man fall in me. So I withdrew. Wait, let me read it again. Hold on. She's saying, there's a part of me that's still recovering from the consequences of believing I could make a man fall in love with me. So I withdrew. Okay. Do you guys get it? I withdrew. We met recently at a hangout and we had such a good time. He still makes me laugh and he still looks fine. I kind of think I want to be his friend because he's cool, but there's a part of me that feels I will be expecting more from him. So what do you think? Should I try for the friendship again? Because he replies when I text. It's not like it's one-sided. Okay, Ajua. What do you guys think? Come and say something. Put your hand is up. Okay. Come get it. Achua, a little dicey. Uh-huh. What do you think?
Honestly, there's no harm in trying. Like, if she needs anything, she should just ask for him. Last, the most you get is no. And maybe the screenshots go into, like, his group chat. But, like, just ask.
That's why you keep it face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
Bro, I don't know about you guys, but these days, that's how I move. You know, there was this era where people were posting screenshots of people in their DMs and things on Twitter, and they'll be like, can you imagine? Hey,
So, like, yeah, even that, you could ask him, like, face-to-face. And honestly, the worst you
What should
get,
she ask? Can we be friends? Because she said she wants friendship.
Okay, yeah, can we be friends? Or so honestly, if she's feeling him, she can shoot her shots.
Again.
Oh, she's already rejected her.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. Okay. I think, yeah, she can shoot herself and be like, you know, I don't want anything from you. We can just be, like, just friends. Like, I don't want anything.
But will that be the truth, though? Is it true that she doesn't want anything from him? I mean...
She should do it for the plot.
Sorry. Uh-huh.
She should do it for the plot.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, for the plot.
Can I... Wait, hold on. How old are you?
Old enough.
Oh, no. I just... Okay. Are you Gen Z or millennial?
Gen Z.
Yeah, they stay doing shit for the plot.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's nice. You survive.
Look, that's actually a really good idea. Like, just for the plot. Like, if it enters the gutter, then that's fine. But you've learned that sometimes... Maybe it will work that you are friends with someone you had a crush on. Sometimes, like, the best
Wait, hold
friends,
on. So you're also Gen Z, right?
Yes.
Great. I want a millennial opinion. Before I share my... Can we pass the mic? Just pass the mic. I'm sorry for the, you know, segregation, but we have to look at things from lenses. Yes.
I feel like friendship is not a consolatory prize for failed talking stages.
Yeah.
So just... Take your L and move on.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
honestly, that shit actually annoys me. When you ask, you say, tell someone you like them, and they're like, "Oh no, but we can be friends." It's not by force. You can say no and say yeah.
Wait.
Then we can be friends, knowing very well that it's not possible. The boy wants to eat you.
I have a millennial opinion that matches the Gen Z's.
And you too for the plot.
Yeah, because it looks like she has to. I was saying the answer that we like. She learns. She has to learn it. She can't hear it here. To like, you understand? Do it and embarrass yourself. Then you never do it again.
True. So I mean, this is obviously sponsored by, you know, the search for coitus. Because she stated that he's still fine. I think there's a certain level of self-awareness she should have going into it. Know that you want to eat and you are going under the guise of friendship. I think that's it. Just don't lie to yourself. Don't be in this whole, oh, we're just going to be friends. You'll be telling yourself, oh, we're just... No. Know that you have watched a couple of movies and you're going to play the part of a good friend. And then the one time the nigga slips, you're on it. Know that that's what you're in there to do. I mean, that's what I feel. But too many times we tell ourselves that, oh, you know what? This guy is cool. So, yeah, I'll just be friends. We are just going to be friends. Nothing will happen. You know? Oh, he's telling me about girls that he, oh, it's cool. Then before you realize, you are losing it. That's just how I feel about it. You know, I wish I was like, there are people in this world, right? They don't care for consequences. They just, you know, they just take chances and it, no, but like nothing shakes them. Somebody will break their hearts today. Tomorrow they are back on it. Hey,
I think
me, I need like 3 months to process it. Then another 3 months to gather myself. Yes.
Yes, I disagree.
What? We are out. Which people get? Wait. They put that move on. Yes. They get promotions at work.
I think it's a phase.
Yes.
I think it's a phase.
It's a phase.
It's a phase in life, like where you want to take certain risks and try certain things and not think so.
You don't
much
think
about
somebody can be like that throughout
there
their life?
There are people like that. But most of us go through that phase as well.
Oh, did you go through it?
Yeah, I did.
When did it end?
Uni days.
Like. Uni days.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
By 25, the brain is now fully, you know, like now you are awake and then you can
Thank you very much. It's developed. So now I think about consequences and all of
that. How many of you actually believe that a friendship can result out of a failed shot? Really? Okay, please pass the mic. I want to know why those are some of the best friendships.
Maybe I'm speaking from personal experience. No, but I feel like, I don't know, something about a man being rejected, like, it's like, they just make good friends. Like, they ride for you. I think maybe it's like, maybe like something.
Wait, guys, hold on. Hold on. I want the room to hear this.
No, maybe.
Guys, wait. Can we agree to let her speak?
I think it's like initially, after the failed talking stage, like, the feelings are still there. So, like, that's what makes them, like, want to continue their friendship. And then at some point, the feelings just fizzle.
Are you sure?
Yeah! No,
guys, wait.
No, I think if you give them the chance, they still
will. Wait. Hey, people want me to clap before we keep quiet. Please, let's have one hot mic. No. You said that.
It's like you're taking advantage of their initial feelings and then it blossoms into a genuine friendship.
Because the feelings on the guy's side will go away.
Yes.
And you have experienced that. Wait. She's talking about experience. Have you experienced that?
To be honest, like, most of my male friends are failed talking stages.
Oh.
Like, my close male friends. Yes. And they are
like, wait. I have another question, guys. How old is the longest one? I want to know how old the longest one is. No, but listen, let me tell you something. I am telling you, a man will play the long game if it takes him 10 years. I am telling you people this for a fact. Do it the way you want. Do you have something to say? Because he wants to. Is there a mic there?
Have you seen that meme where the girl had relationship problems, went to complain to the guy? She was crying on his shoulder, and the guy was like, it's okay. And then, like, turned the and then the girl just slapped him.
I've not seen it.
Men are always waiting for their chance. It's inevitable. Like,
I saw a video today, and there was this girl that was talking about how, oh, she has genuine men, male friends who don't want to have sex. And the guy was like, call one of them. I don't know if you guys saw it. Call one of them. Oh, no, I don't put you on the spot. But I can bet you.
Wait. That's literally what I was about to say. Like, just ask any one of them. Tell any one of them it's go time.
I just want, hey.
Friends.
It's not, unless you are ready for the consequences, it's not necessary. No, it's not necessary. For the plots, no. Yo, the turbulence that will come into your life, I'm telling you. Listen, bro, the group chat will come alive tonight. Hey, yo, see. Bro. Yo, you give somebody a reason to go out with the boys tonight. I'm telling you. Anyway, have we exhausted everything we have to say about this? Well, you know, let me tell you something. A friend of mine said this to me, and I think it's perfect advice. He said that he only gives energy to people who are obsessed with him from the first day they meet. Like, when you see that there's genuine interest, it's not, the person is not really saying no, not really saying yes. He said he wants you to be doe-eyed. If you don't give that energy, he's not texting.
No.
I'm just saying that there should be interest. If you have to wonder personally about, but you see, let me tell you what's going on. Bobby, let me explain it to you. I don't know what year it was, but at the dawn of the Me Too movement, right, men started to realize that pursuing relentlessly could also be misread. And so now they are not fully doing, I would wager to say that anybody that is fully chasing is just looking for sex. I'm just saying, if people want serious things, they take a different approach.
But is that what we want? Like as the women, like, do we prefer that we do the chasing now?
Wait. Hold on. It's not valuable, don't worry. Baby, what is it? What fell? Oh, okay. Listen, are we about to do this? Is that what we want? Life's not fair for anybody.
Are we at the point where it's okay for the woman to rather bring in so much energy before the man replicates?
Yes,
that one too is fine. Because sometimes, honestly, there are also men who are not as confident and they need the reassurance. So if you are coming to them with energy, then they know that, yeah, cool. Some people like the chase. There are some people, if you are stretching them, they like it. They have 3 months for you. So, yeah. Anyway.
There's also that element of, you know, when an ugly person is flirting with you and you don't like it, versus a pretty person is flirting with you and you like it. So the chase and how the person responds also depends on how they feel about you. So
exactly. But you see,
no, you're making like I'm adding to it.
Yes.
So like somebody could be ugly to one person and pretty to the other person. And yeah, if you think the person is attractive, then the other person. Obviously, you're
how do you guys honestly, generally, let's just be honest with each other, we are human beings. How do you react when an ugly person is moving to you? Someone that you think subjectively the person is ugly and the person is moving to you, you just say thank you. Friendship, wow. Yes.
So, uh-huh. Like, I'm a curious person, so I'll just ask them a bunch of questions.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually they'll get angry and they'll walk away.
Wait, are you asking questions that's going to annoy them?
No. I'm asking general questions, but eventually they'll get angry and they'll walk away.
Wait, what if they don't walk away then?
Okay, they want one question, then we can move on from you.
Oh, it's a bunch.
No, just one. What's one question you ask someone that you think is not attractive?
I ask them the same question I ask people like, I'm attracted to, except like at some point when I'm attracted to somebody, I'll stop asking questions and start making.
So, but what is the question?
You're asking me.
He doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Okay.
One question.
We're going to move on to the next letter. No, but have you ever felt like somebody is turning you down because they don't think you are good looking? No. Yes. She said no. So insecurity does not live in this household. No. For real? Never? Wow, you have been confident for a while. Oh wait, okay. Have you ever thought that somebody's telling you that because you don't have money?
No.
Hey, she said this is a boy's question. Who told you this is a boy's question? Do you know that there are a category of men who are looking for rich people's daughters to marry? Well. Oh, yes. Men also consider finances. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. Oh. Do not be deceived. It comes up. Yeah, in public get money, it comes up. I'm just saying, oh my God, the straight niggas are gonna be like, hello guys. Okay, wait, who is this? Okay, this is a girl. I need a name. Yellow, oh wow. Okay. No, Yellow CC says that 2 years ago, I was finally able to move out of my parents' house and I have very intentionally not kept contact with them. My mother is turning 65 soon, and there's a big party that is being planned. My brother called me to beg me to come, and now I'm confused about my initial plan not to go. I am what Ghanaians call a tomboy. I'm not a feminine girl. Throughout my teenage years, my mother always complained about how I dressed. I've been in several meetings with family members and even pastors to talk to me about the path I have taken. In all these encounters, my mother gets so dramatic and acts like I am a devil worshipper. I stopped going to church because the aunties would always gang up on me after church, and that one too became an issue. Since I've been on my own, I have peace. I have cool friends who get me and co-workers who mind their business. I'm 27 now, and one of the reasons I keep my distance is the whole marriage and children pressure. My father is disappointing because he won't speak up against my mother. But I know he doesn't care about how I dress or what I do. The man doesn't even go to church, and his wife lets that slide. So do you think I should go for the party?
Personally, uh-huh. what she said, it was her sibling that told her to come. It not wasn't the parents. So understand her feelings about it. And I'm sure for Ghanaian parents, they're just expecting her to show up. But if I was in her situation, I'll be expecting an invite.
From your parents?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know Ghanaian
parents. No, because she said she's not in communication with them in the first case. If it was a constant communication thing, it's not something you need to invite. But if we are not talking at all and you're having an event, number one, why do you expect me to know you're having an event? It could be I'm just calling you happy birthday, ma. That's it. But you're having a whole party. How do you expect me to know when we are not in communication?
How many of you think that the brother called because the parents told him to? That's exactly what I thought. Because they know that you are out of their house, so they don't have the same hold on you. And you're not talking to that's the person they are using. I honestly, I expecting an invitation from their parents before you go to the party, they are far. You've seen that thing. Ghanaian parents don't know how to say sorry. Have you eaten? Yeah. Do we have anything here? Nothing. Okay, she has something.
If she's mentally ready for what she knows will come, because she already knows what will come, she should go. If she can prepare herself and be ready. Be very ready, because they will attack. And it's been, 2 years? Oh, they will really attack. If she knows she can't do it,
yeah,
she just stay in her house. Because, I mean, they will still attack her then, but at least she can just turn off her phone. If they like, they should fly.
You know, I don't know, but there's a part of me that wants her to do something very dramatic. I wanted to get dolled up, like dress up, lace front, push up bra, and then go and sell them this whole story. You know, just so she will have a pleasant evening, knowing that she's only here. The next time they call her is another 5 years when she's 70, and then leave. Just to give them a mind fuck. That's the way I'm at. What about you?
She can also go a bit early, do what you have to do, and then do an Irish goodbye. Yeah, leave without saying bye. Because it's towards the end that they will start focusing on you. Because in the beginning, the party, everyone is happy, whatever. So go clock 1 or 2, 1.5 hours, be then you just bounce without saying goodbye to anyone.
I don't know how successful that could be. I mean, do you know what? I think that we never meet people with these questions. I think as people who are now paying bills of sorts, even if you buy a bundle, you are paying bill. You need to start asking questions in return. Trust me, because I think that Ghanaian adults are prepared for the silence that comes from the younger generation, where they are being reprimanded, when they are forcefully giving you advice. Oh, mami, can't you? Because they don't expect you to speak up. And I think maybe we should get into this thing of, like, you know, asking questions and also use data you have about them. Honestly. So you meet your auntie, she's saying that, hey, oh, into a film, you know, oh, call your own film, mami. Okay. Wafremi. 2 years, new Wafremi. You know, you meet them toe to toe. You turn here, your uncle is talking about how you are wearing jeans made for a man. Then you tell your uncle that, but you, so you want me to dress? Okay, wait, this is going in the wrong direction. But you get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we have to meet them toe to toe. You don't disrespect per se, but because sometimes nobody has asked them certain questions before.
So can I say something really quickly?
Yeah.
As somebody who grew up in a very unconventional Ghanaian household,
mm-hmm.
I actually interacted with a conventional Ghanaian, like, adults.
Oh, later on.
Later on in my life.
Did it shock you?
I asked him, what do you mean by that?
What did
he
say?
He took it as an insult.
You were just like, oh, what do you mean by that?
I genuinely just wanted to know what he meant by what he was saying. So I think that, like, every once in a while, like, I get what you're saying, that you need to, like, come back at them. But I don't think they perceive the questions in the way that we present them. And I think every once in a while, they'll go to our parents and be like, that guy was so disrespectful because he said this,
he asked
me this question and he said this thing. And it's very frustrating. Like, it's a frustrating thing.
You have something to say? Like, Triple M has something to say. Okay, by the time you make it to this mic, Kobe will be done with his submission.
Oh, are we sure?
No, let's go, let's go.
So I feel like this is way more about her than it is about them. Like you said, they're gonna do what they're gonna do regardless. Like, mm-hmm. whether she's the tomboy or the tomboy is a stranger to them, they're gonna look at that and be like, damn, that's a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
So it really has to do with her acceptance of her own self, because when she's okay with that, anybody can call her a tomboy and the response is gonna be something that is fine. It's like, your comeback is going to be possible without offense if she doesn't feel like she's doing anything wrong in that moment.
Why do you feel she's not comfortable with who she is? I didn't get that from the...
Because then it shouldn't affect her. Right? Because then if she wants... This is my thing. If you want to be there...
It's about other people. Yeah, but you know, sometimes you don't want to hear it. Because you're here for 2 or 3 hours and you have to field questions about why you dress the way you dress, when you're getting married, when you're having babies.
Oh, I don't want to invalidate that. I'm not saying that's not... That must, I'm not invalidating that experience. Like, it's not nice, but you don't also have to internalize it, because like she said, you know that's what happens there. It's like going it's to not a place that smells like palm oil and being like, why does it smell like olive oil? Like, bitch, it's just a palm oil house. Like, what do you want? Do you understand?
Right,
so you harboring that whole like, oh, I don't want to be there for 2 hours and this is what's going on. It's like, you know where you're going. Can you handle it? And I think being able to handle it comes from or stems from your own self-acceptance. So like, if you walk into any space where anybody has that impression, it's their business.
Huh. You know what? Yeah, there's some truth there, you know. But I just feel you have to be that kind of person that doesn't really internalize things. And I feel like when things come from people who are very close to you, it hurts differently. And you have to train yourself to not care what they say. And I don't know if maybe in the 2 years she hasn't done it because she's just been away from it. Yeah. Well, yeah. Maria.
I was going to say that I think freedom comes with disrespect. I think when you're disrespectful, you're free. I don't think we need to stop. I know this Ghanaians are so, you need to stop caring about what people think and the responses that you'll get and what your parents will say.
Wait.
Welcome, honestly.
Because so we have to become okay with being seen as a disrespectful person.
Yes. That, you know, when you're growing up as a child, you realize that your favorite...
Wait, hold on, guys. We'll come there. Yes, when you're growing up as a child,
you realize your favorite aunties and uncles are the ones that no one can fuck with. Everyone is like, hey, that's what Uncle Corbin, now we don't need to mess with him more. And those people are free. If you want to be free, be disrespectful.
Wow.
Joseph, it's
okay.
Very true.
But after that, Bobby wants to say something here.
Very true. I'm a Gen Z. See, if you're in the house.
Yes, I love it.
See,
let's go. Uh-huh.
If you're in a house and you're so respectful, they will use you. Because their own boy, they are young, can ask them.
Yeah,
because
true.
You, the respectful one, will go and do this job. The disrespectful one, young, can ask them because no one is talking about you. Because you what? You respect. You disrespect. Oh my God. Never.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, freedom. Freedom comes with disrespect. In Ghana. Oh, master.
Freedom. Barbie. Now I want to hear what you have to say. She's very against the disrespect. Why? Yes.
I'm thinking
Oh.
Yes, I know. I don't want to be that person.
Okay.
But I'll be that person.
Okay.
There's some cost that comes to having a village. Sometimes that cost might be. Let me. Yes, you can have good friends. You can have colleagues who are not in your business. But as you grow, you will need your family. Might not be all of them. But some of them. So sometimes there are certain things you have to deal with to be able to have that deal. It might not be necessary to be like
Barbie, the Gen Z's are eating you up. Okay, yes.
I just want to quickly say that we need to recognize that this conversation is largely dependent on your family dynamics. There are certain family dynamics where your very act of being yourself is disrespectful.
Yes.
By itself. Yes. And there are certain family dynamics where it depends on where you fall. Which of the children are you? Are you the black sheep? Are you firstborn? Are you this? Are you that? It all depends. So I can't necessarily give a direct answer. We just need to remember that in all our statements and everything, we are speaking based on our personal family experiences. And that in the end, it largely depends on family dynamics.
I mean, so how many of you are very, you are able to have conversations with the adults in your family very easily? Look, it's all the Gen Z's.
I'm not a Gen Z.
You've already told us how you grew up. Okay. I mean, you know what? It's true though. It's true. The people that are very wayward or whatever. And you know the funny thing? I will say this. When we were growing, the aunts and uncles that were painted to us as they were wayward, they are whatever. I just woke up one day and I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing the same thing. It is me. No, for real though, because I just think there's a certain performativeness to being a Ghanaian. It's not even just a Ghanaian, you know. Fawonsatuwechi, Opinion Kasaye, you know, there's just this performance, and I find it so restricting to what people can become, because every small thing is seen as disrespect. Every small thing is seen as, hey, you are going to hell. Yo, I remember I went to Johannesburg to a company, right? And then the CEO or whatever came out. This man was wearing long sleeves that he had folded. He had tattoos. He had a septum piercing and locks. And then this is their MD. I said, "E." The Ghanaian in me immediately started judging him. I will not even lie. I was like, oh, can you guys be for real? But can you guys think of a Ghana where you are not held back by the tattoos you have, the piercings you have, the whatever? Just think about what everybody, because I know people today who they don't want to work in an office because they don't want to cut their hair. You shouldn't have to make that trade-off. And I wonder how long it's going to take for us to come to that. You know, not going to the party, it adds to the story. Ni mami here party crowamba. Hey! That will add to it so much. But before you come, I want us to talk briefly about what Barbie said. Because I see everybody here, all the judges are like, no, you will not need your family, your community. No, I know. When she said, no, you need community and your friends are great and whatever, but you always need your family. You guys are like, no. Why? What's going on there?
Because your village can be your friends. Okay. Sometimes family is actually terrible. Not mine though, but sometimes it's actually terrible. And I feel like people overrate family so much, because me, a long time ago, I came to the acceptance that I can love my family, but sometimes I don't like my family.
Mm.
But then my friends, I choose them. And sorry, my friends can be my village. It doesn't have to be my family. So sorry.
Clog it.
I think people say this a lot, but how many of our parents have their family members disappointing them? How true is it even in the first place? People's family starve them for properties and whatsoever.
Yo.
So where is this apparent village in family? Because you people are not the perfect example.
I'm sorry. It is so true. Because how many times will your mother come and complain about some auntie, some uncle?
So what,
and then when people die, when people die, family becomes monsters. Barbie.
Yeah, so I think what Barbie's point is salient. Like, but the difference that we are not acknowledging, I think, in the conversation is that there's actually a difference between relatives and family. Mm. You can actually choose family. Like we know multiple people.
We are smart here, like, relatives and family.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we all kind of have our own degree of that kind of experience, right? We've literally set examples. So it's just because I share blood with you doesn't mean you are the one meant to provide this version of community safety for me. But I will find a father, not me. I will find a father figure. I will find a mother figure or a sibling figure that where I will feel kinship on the planet. It doesn't have to be somebody who is my relative. But with this specific person, and the point I made earlier, I think that self-acceptance also transforms the people around you. Because then they see that it is not dangerous. They see that it is not what they think it is. It is not Bon Samson, right? If you are confident, happy, and you radiate actual, like, just like, you are happy with your life. You're happy with your tomboyness. It is your power. If you wear it that way, they will start knocking on your door for, hey, trust is now sharing. I mean, say, it really suits you nicely. You know, now locks now, you know, like literally has happened to me. So
not everybody. Some people will see your joy and everything and say, bushes. That's going to be what is going to come across. Bro, I mean, tell you, back when I used to take churcho and I had my braces on, one of those pastors in the churcho said that I have what I'm doing, I'm inviting demons. I'm telling you, people, they have their own version of things. Oh, I mean, yeah, just one morning when he came to preach, you know what I mean? What do you guys live when you're making your life choices and decisions? Do you constantly consider what your family will think?
No.
You do. I want to hear why you do. Is there a mic there? I want to hear why you do.
So I think once again it's based on family dynamics. I say this because I think that the bulk of my intentions and decisions in life also align with what the broad spectrum of my family expects me to go with. So then I do consider them as a form of guidance in whatever I am doing. If I say I don't, I'll be a liar.
Do you have tattoos?
No, I do not.
How do you feel about tattoos?
I have low pain tolerance. I think they are great, but I have low pain tolerance.
Oh, okay. So if you got a tattoo, how would your family receive it?
I mean, my old girl has one, so...
Your mother has a tattoo? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, do you have something to say? Uh-huh.
I feel like also this whole conversation will end if you make a lot of money.
Of course!
If you make money.
Yes. Let me tell you something.
Come to you and go on.
Do you know who I learned this from? Bobrisky. No. Listen, guys. I started following Bobrisky when Bobrisky was putting one stretch of hair in Jerry Kills and to cover. And he used to wear the Ankara top and then he would wear it like this. And you use the same fabric to show slippers. Bro, let me tell you. They have said everything about Bobrisky. And when Bobrisky started living in wealth, you saw the shifts in how she was perceived online. People, the comment section, people now asking for money and everything. I'm sorry. I was in a movie also, I said money stops nonsense. When you have money, you can have the piercings you want. They will even explain it for you. Oh, that's what you said. Chris, I don't want to hear. In Abo. In Emma 4. Did you guys know what in Emma 4 is? It means like people of today. Yo. No, but it's a thing, yeah? I think, at least with millennials, we still have this hold of family in the decisions that we make, because there's just this performance. And I wonder how much of their concern is actual concern or what people will say, you know?
You're more concerned about them.
How they have to defend your actions.
Like, yeah, or how, what people will say about them. Because if you think about it, she being a tomboy, whatever the case, you see these same family members defending or rather say, being nice to people who have done actually egregious things in society. People have stolen money. They've impregnated a teenager. Those ones, it's fine.
They
But yes, but they are cherry picking. Oh.
Do you know where I actually thought about this thing? You see how they say when you are getting married, they have to do an investigation to see if your family. I honestly think that's where it comes from. Oh, the tendency of family to always want to sweep things under the rug. Terrible things are happening there. Maybe we need to take that off the list. Stop the background check. Why are we doing a background check on a person's family? This is funny because that is reinforcing the extended family stereotype. But you guys are moving real nuclear over here, talking about you don't consider your family when you're making decisions. And that's what it is. We grew up with that extended family system. And I think Gen Z, through socialization on the internet, are developing a nuclear family mindset. Because it's giving very, you know, I don't care what my mother says. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, as somebody who, not a similar situation, but kind of similar, whose family in general has a problem with how I dress up.
No, what their problem they have? Okay, what I say? What problem do they have?
No, they are more very conservative and they care about what outsiders think about. So they always have a problem with how I dress up. Uh-huh. And I'm usually very stubborn. That one, it's a fact. I'm usually very stubborn.
Okay.
But there was like a whole family event. I came in the outfit. I promise you, the whole family surrounded me. Like, you cannot wear this. You cannot wear this. Uh-huh. And it just kept on going on and on. And I was like, you know what? Fine. Just for peace. It's just a cute 2-hour event. Let me just wear what they want me to wear. Wasn't necessarily what they wanted me to wear. I negotiated the outfits. And then they were like, you know what, fine, we'll take this one. At least it's better than the other one. And then I just went there, dealt with the event, and then I was on my way. So I understand where she's coming from in that regard of as soon as you walk in, everybody's surrounding you with one comment and another. On certain situations, I don't care. And in certain situations, I care.
Which ones do you care?
I'll say maybe when it's like, it's not, I feel like I'm disrupting the event a bit.
Hey, your outfit actually stops the event. Who's that girl? I'm sorry.
Like them caring is disrupting.
Can I ask a question? When you're dressing, right, what is your theme in your mind? What do you want to look like when you're done? Not a problem. Yeah.
I don't actually think there's anything risque or what's scandalous about my outfit. I'm just saying that the family is a bit, oh, this is not how you should dress.
Oh, wait, is it that it's too curvy or what?
Like, maybe this outfit like this was a problem. It doesn't seem much, but it's a problem.
So, somebody said you should stand though. Did you hear? Anyway. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that if she has to, it's not about, she has to look into herself and see that, is this an event she can go to and deal with for the 2 hours?
Well. What name did we give her? Yellow CC.
And she tolerates the abuse.
The verbal abuse.
That's literally what it is.
Yeah. In there somewhere, we have told her what to do. I feel like there's a lot of points that have been belabored. So we will just move on to the next one. All right, this is a guy. What do we call him? Isiama. Is Isiama one of the friends that you got from shooting? Come on, Isiama. Okay, this one says, "Hi, Joseph. I have a little dilemma. I've recently come into some money." Yeah. Right? And I want to, and I want to start building on my land because I think passive income from rent could be quite helpful to me. However, I had a conversation with a friend recently where I shared my plans to start my second master's program in 2028. My friend doesn't think this is a great idea. He advised me to start school as soon as possible with the money and that the career advancements could land me in a role that allows me to build a house comfortably. To be fair, this money is not enough to fund the project, but I feel like I'm in a race to start accomplishing certain things. I'm 32 and single, and I have this idea to build my house first before getting married so it can help with the bills. But this master's with this laughter, you guys. But this master's, while a great addition to my CV, may not translate into a well-paying job immediately. A lot of people have been talking about self-investment lately, so I'm really torn. What will you do? I will. I was about to say what I would do. I will buy a plane ticket. Because I feel like if I knew what I would do, I would just do it. And I don't know. So I'll just buy a plane ticket and go and talk to somebody abroad.
Hi.
Hi.
So I think that, like, we have a lot of lofty ideas of finishing our houses by 32. But the thing is that for our parents, it took a while, right? And a lot of people don't understand compounding interest. So you have to start and then just build a system around it. Nobody had 100,000, 1 million Ghana cedis to finish their house. And he's being too hard on himself. I think that the feedback culture of social media also makes us feel like, oh, once I've seen it, if I start, I have to finish next year. Things happen. The dollar went up. It came down.
Yeah.
Like, your plans might not go as, but you must have a system in place. You should just have a system in place and just trust the process. I know it sounds very cliche.
So you're saying you should go to school?
No, you shouldn't go to school. You should start.
You should build a house.
Yes, you should start.
Hey, this is so interesting. Okay, we'll come here. So, you can pass the mic. Yeah.
My opinion.
Uh-huh. Of course,
it's yours. Wants to go to school. I know masters, depending on what he's going to do, whether 2 years or 3 years, like probably 2 years. Mm-hmm. Why don't you, or 1 year, why don't you invest that money into an investment company, like go to the bank, invest it, like see yourself you are in school. As an example, the money will grow within 1 year. You take it and you start building.
Which investments is what I want to know. Which investment? Because have you seen the T-bill rates? Okay, let's listen to Ishira.
His money is not enough.
Hold on, guys. Listen, I will bring the mic here because I want to hear what you guys are saying. Uh-huh.
The money is not enough to complete the house.
Right.
It's basically sunk cost. You are going to start the building. You cannot rent it out. You cannot live there. Right? It's just going to be there. It's a foundation, whatever.
So
waste of money.
You should go to school.
Yes. If that money was enough, because the purpose of him building is to get passive income. So if the money is not enough to actually get the passive income that you want, what's the point?
But what if, you know, because everybody says building a house is such a long process, he wants to start some and then small.
He should go to school, get scholarship. No, honestly, go to school, get scholarship, get a mentor, get a job.
Thank you. Israel said, go to school, get scholarship. Do you know how it is to get scholarship? And that form. Do you have a mic? If you have a mic. Who is, okay. Uh-huh.
The school that he wants to go, is it that same money he's using for school, or the money will be there and then he'll go to school?
No, he has come into money and he wants to start building, but somebody's saying, no, use the money to go to school.
Finish 2 rooms of the house and rent out. When you are ready, you build the rest of the house.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. When you starting the money? Really? With the foundation?
Do you know how long it takes to sell property? It does. It absolutely does. And apart from that, if you are building, it's not for you, it's for your children. Because even the rent you are going to make from it, you're not going to make enough to recoup your investment. It's for your children because...
Hold on. If you are building, it's not for you, it's for your children.
No, if you're building to rent, building to rent, it's not for you. If you listen to Kennedy Japon, he's even said that he has thousands of houses in East Legon and they're not bringing him anything. It's some cost.
Joseph, sorry. Let me...
Not this example, my dear.
Oh, sorry.
Kennedy.
You see, in Ghana, a lot of people put their money in houses and they make nothing from it. That's the truth. If you put all your money and you don't even get to the roofing level, it's there. You're not getting anything from it.
But so, okay. But if you put the money in going to school,
yes,
and you have the certificate and the CV updates.
Yes.
What are the, because you are looking at what you are getting out of building.
I'm not saying it's an either or, but if you start, where are your sources of funding for the project?
Your salary. It's
you're not going to finish in time to rent it out and to.
So are you saying he should go to school?
Possibly. That's the better option than starting to build.
Wow. Yes.
Sorry. As so typically...
Hold on. Pass it to these girls. We are coming there. We are coming here. Uh-huh.
So I was saying typically, when you're building a house, you calculate 30 years before you start making a profit on your building. So if you are 30 and you're building... That profit will appear.
Hold on. What do you do? Hey. Hello. Wait. Yeah. Sorry. What is your profession?
No, so.
Are you also in real estate or pensions?
No. So I work on a lot of buildings and my family to like build constantly. So I hear about when they are making their return.
No, but hold on. What do you mean it's going to take you? So if I'm building a property.
Yeah.
And let's say it takes me 5 years to finish the property.
Yeah.
It will now take me another
before
30 years
to make. Actually start making profits. It will take, they usually do a calculation because.
Oh, you mean recouping the cost of the building?
Yes.
It takes you 30 years?
Yes. It takes you that long.
Hey, you people.
So I'm just saying that he has to be realistic.
And what's the realistic choice? The school?
No, I think he has to look into himself and make a better choice because he's not going to make that money back right now, especially where he doesn't have the full sum. He's not going to make that money back right now. He's like, oh, he's doing it as passive income, but it's not going to happen right now. So he has to prioritize what is important to him now.
Oh, what? Okay, please, is there any other submission here? Okay, take it here. We'll come to you. Please hold it. We'll come to you. Yes.
One thing I also say is that in Ghana, we are not, everyone wants to build and then like build for themselves and all that. You have this lump sum of money there, right? Why don't you enter into a contract with maybe two of your friends, but spell out everything clearly. Not the, oh, we met, we are friends and we are doing, no, do a proper contract and spell everything out. Let them pull their money and build this thing. And it can be a duplex or something so that each person will have their part of the house and all that, rather than forcing yourself to do it when you don't have the capacity to do that.
Thank you. Please give it to Lenny the pig and we'll come here. See, Frank, I'm going to tell you this for a fact. I worry about taste levels. You know, I might want a nice front lawn and somebody might want terrazzo, you know. But I think the reason why we don't go into a lot of group ventures is that we generally don't trust our friends when it comes to business. Yes! Oh my God. Barbie, you couldn't wait to get that out. No, I mean, listen. No, of course, I realized it all. We don't have a lot of people going into business with each other because of that. And then now, property that you want, and you know, we have this thing in this country, I want to say, it's for me. We have that. So I don't know. But yes, what did you want to say?
I was going to say that Ghanaians also don't think of what comes with renting out your buildings to people.
Bro.
Because it happened to my sister. She ended up even making a loss because what she had to use to repair the house after the person left was more than what the person paid staying in the house. So I think we have this whole, I don't know, it's like a fairy tale thing about renting houses. I'll rent them out. But the people coming to live in the house are also coming with another set of problems. So if that's...
Don't you think that can be mitigated by also vetting the people you give the house to?
It can, to a point. But then, even with the way our laws work with them, in terms of renting out buildings, because I had a co-worker who had given her house out. The person wasn't paying rent for like about a year. And when she goes to the rent control, they say she has no right to throw the person out but she should serve the person a letter. She serves
for
the
one
letter.
Year.
Yes, the person doesn't show up. Then they give her another letter to serve to the person again. And the person
hey, she doesn't know niggas. She doesn't know niggas.
Some wee boys.
Go and put some, what's it called? Chain or the gate. You lock them 1 week, they can't come out. Please, hello. Yes, ladies. I want to hear.
Okay, so for the interest thingy, interest rates are really bad right now.
Yeah.
Your money, you lose value. I'm so sorry.
Time value just, of money.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the masters, I know a lot of poor masters doing the same job as me with a degree. So, you know, I don't think it converts like immediately. It's like it might convert, it might not convert. And then dependent on whether he stops work to go and do the masters, that's another whole thing.
Yeah.
Like he stops and he has to come and find another job. Mm-mm. And I wanted to confirm, is he building the house to rent it or to live in it?
I think he said to rent it because he said something about passive income. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think regardless, he has to pick his poison because, yeah.
It's looking like the building doesn't have a lot of votes, guys. No. Yes.
Well, I think not all master's degree guarantees immediate employment in Ghana.
Kaish.
Because now a lot of people are, I want to do my master's, But then, well, it also depends on the field you are in. Mm. So I think for now, I'm sure he has a first degree already. He can start. And then...
He says second master's. He has one already. guys. So now you're saying he should build?
Yeah, he should start. He should just start and then use his salary to...
Wait. I have a question before I come to you. So, are you guys saying that a second master's is unnecessary or what?
It depends.
How about this? You know how sometimes you get the degree and it's not necessarily for the now. Something will come up and then they'll say...
But he looks... I mean, clearly he needs the money. Do you get it? He needs the money.
Maybe near future. 5 years. I want
to
hear you.
Just with regards to the building. Uh-huh. With regards to the building... I don't know where the land is and the size of the land, but if it is in a good place, sufficiently large, he can partner with a real estate agency in a joint venture agreement. They build a number of properties. They give him some out of the properties and then he's good to go.
Yeah, those things exist.
It's a reasonable compromise.
Wow. Yes, Bobby.
I think he should get a car and do Uber.
Please, I don't think Uber drivers make as much as they used to make before.
Oh, they do.
They do?
They do.
They're always complaining.
They do. They make money.
Joseph, I have a question.
Yes, question.
The master's, is it in Ghana or is it outside Ghana?
He didn't state.
You should go outside Ghana. If it's in Ghana, you shouldn't do it. If it's outside, you should do it.
Eh.
Oh, yeah.
Remote or going?
He should go.
Go ahead.
Why should he go? When he comes back, he'll be a fish out of water trying to get a job. He shouldn't come back.
No.
Hey, but you people, are you seeing the immigration laws these days? People are not openly inviting people to come and work.
Okay. Let me just say something really quickly.
Uh-huh.
And I hate to be the nuanced guy here, but...
To be the what?
The nuanced guy here.
Oh, okay.
But it genuinely depends, right? Because if his first master's is in something that isn't applicable now, and he's doing his second master's in something like programming or IT or something like that, that's going to get him money now, then he should definitely do that. Because then he can work remote from Ghana and make a significant enough amount of money that he can build a house. But if he's going to do a second master's in something that isn't like super beneficial to him in the immediate term, then it might make more sense for him to invest in something that is better long term. Does that make sense?
They both seem better long term to me.
No,
they both won't give you instant gratification.
Okay, so let's say he did his first master's in something like philosophy, and he's doing his second master's in something like, I don't know, literature. Like, you don't need that second master's. But if you're doing your second master's, do you get what I mean?
Hey, I'm sorry.
Hey.
Why are you putting literature on a certain level?
I'm not. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. his question is whether or not he should invest in his master's or his house. And I'm saying, if you are saying literature is a great long-term investment, I would assume that building a house is a greater long-term investment, which would eventually get him a literature degree anyway, if that's what he really wants to do.
But what about let's say your master's degree giving you a certain level of elevation, right?
Where?
That allows you to now have a salary range that you can now take on this project.
So that's exactly why I said what's his second master's degree in?
Because it's
literature. Where's like what doors is that gonna open for him that he doesn't have now?
Okay, so you know what? I think we are going to have to take a vote so that we see who is winning. So, masters, second masters, not even one hand. One. Really? So, all of you take two, three masters, three masters, but outside the country. So, wait, all of you think that he should build?
Uber. We are all with the Uber people.
Hey, what's the third option?
Yeah. This is a decision he has to make himself. He can't listen to anybody's opinion. He should sit down, do a pros and cons list of the two of them and judge for himself, because it could go wrong either way. If he doesn't make the decision himself, hey, it goes wrong.
What would you do? You?
That's what I'm saying. I'll sit down and do a pros and cons list.
We've done pros and cons here based on everything.
No, what do you think you'll do? I have enough information to do a proper pros and cons
list.
And it's what we are saying.
What's missing?
Oh my God, we don't even know what
amount of money.
We don't even know the land he has.
But those of you who are building here, so far, how much have you spent on your building? Are you open to sharing? Really?
It's a going cost.
So you're not
it's
counting a going it.
Cost.
How long have you been building? 2 years. How long do you think you have left to build? Another 2 years.
Okay, so.
You stay inside? Oh. No, but I hear when you live in it, it motivates you to finish it faster. I know somebody that has been building a house for 7 years. So.
If you don't have the money.
Because the person has children and the person is paying school fees.
So now even getting a land and it being stress-free, not having to go to court.
Land guards.
When you start building, people come digging fee, this fee, that fee. And then today you go, your mason has stolen 10 bags, your iron rods. It's a lot.
No, do you know that they put soap on the wires and they pull it out of the walls? It's crazy. Guys, building is really crazy. Straight up. So, okay, guys, great tip. When you are laying wires, make sure you have tiling money so that as soon as you are done, you tile. But you see, maybe the last salary brought you to wiring and you need another 2 months before you
can. You can buy the wires, but don't start wiring.
Until you have the tiling money.
Buy the wires, don't start wiring.
Okay, so my last question on this matter. How many of you believe you have to build a house before you die? How many of you believe you have to build a house before you die? You? Oh, then times are changing, because you know in Ghana, if you don't build a house, they say one bobra. Oh, so wait, okay. You
that's,
buy.
Does building include buying? Does it include buying?
Oh, so what I'm hearing, hold on. What I'm hearing is that all of you want to own a house, but you don't want to build. So you want to buy or inherit? No, wait, okay.
Oh, sugar daddy.
How many of you are waiting to inherit? Hey! Wow! I'm sorry. So, are there times when you sit down and think about the fact that you inheriting a house means someone you love has to die? Wait, hold on. He said we have to have meetings with our parents to make sure we are in the will.
You will see there's some surprise child. Some surprise child.
Surprise child.
That's why the girl, he said that's why the girl has to go for the family party. So that she'll be in the will. Nah, the girl is a lone wolf now. 2 years, 2 years in accounting. No, nah, this is crazy. I just feel, you know, how many of you thought being an adult was so cool when you were younger? My older cousins, they could come and go whenever they wanted. And I just thought I think we got thrust into this thing and now all these responsibilities and decisions. You have to have a car.
You have to buy gas.
We just saw the highlight. You have to have a car. You have to have a house. You have to have a family. Your family has to go to a school that is respected. If your child is not smart, they'll look at you different. Can you imagine? Do you know that there's that pressure? When people are in the offices, they're talking about, hey, my bad, we defer so. Also, we are repeating. How can you talk some? Eh? Somebody is talking about how their child has started talking at how may spelling, whatever. Your child is saying, mommy, the light, they've off it. Will he come or are you deaf? Like we're never going to stop being judged and critiqued. Oh my God. That's why you have to be disrespectful. Go against the grain. Go against the grain. It's true. And make money. And you see, okay. So now these are the highlights, okay? To live life on your own terms, you have to be disrespectful, but you have to have money. You have to have fuck you money. That's what it is. I don't know how many of you listened to the episode where I was talking about my former landlady. But let me tell you, when I went to that meeting to give her the keys and she said, oh, so where should she send the safety? You know, when you go, you have to pay 2 months. Where should she send the safety? I got up and I said, use it to fix the towels. The towels that you said I spot, use it to fix it. And I left. I felt so good. Some people said I was stupid. I should have taken my money. But I don't know. I just felt so good. Okay, let's go to our last question. So this one says, okay, this is a woman. We need a name. Aisha too. You know what? Eid Mubarak. Yeah. Joseph, I got married 8 months ago. What do you people have against marriage? What do you have against marriage? Have you guys seen that video of the pastor that is calling the boys in his church bulu because they're not marrying? Yes. Okay. I got married 8 months ago and my family is turning my experience of it so sour. My husband has money. He comes from a family with a family business. So the general assumption is that we are always going to save the day. Recently, one of the problematic aunties has disappeared and left her 11-year-old son just like that. Like clockwork and without asking, my mother has gone to tell those involved that the boy can live with my husband and I. It's training for when they start having their own children. That's so unacceptable to me. Yes. We have a 4-bedroom house with no children, but we are also in the early days of our marriage. We are very comfortable. We are barely clothed over the weekend. It's just us, and we like it that way. An 11-year-old really messes with the vibe. I'm afraid they are going to think I do not want to help. And my mother and her religious Good Samaritan ways will make a big deal out of this. What do I do? You guys, Bobby said you need community. Think about it. Another time. The 11-year-old, one day when the 11-year-old grows, they'll remember you. Let's hear you.
I think we've already answered this. First of all, be disrespectful. Because I feel like these kind of things, if you give them inch, it's one day, it will be their 11-year-old. Tomorrow, it will be someone who has cancer because he was smoking and he was drinking. Tomorrow, it's going to be, a queer menu's house in the village wants to be completed. If you give them a little bit, they will go. So she should just say, mommy, I'm sorry, but I want to be walking naked around with my husband in the house. you can keep him. I don't know, we can move him somewhere. But Ebe Buano, if she wants to see her grandchildren, she should keep him away.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I get it. If she wants to see her grandchildren. Yeah. Okay, okay. Yeah.
The thing is, you are married. Uh-huh. And as we are going, your parents need to also understand that you're also an adult. And you need to set those boundaries. If you don't set it, they'll keep crossing it. It's just like the tomboy situation. You need to know where they can cross the line. Fine, because without even consulting me, you're coming to bring someone to the house. You can also offer, okay, fine. Once you set that boundary, let them know that this is not happening. Maybe they can come and stay with you if you want maybe some allowance. I can do that, but
the boy should live with her mother.
Because you are the one who has carried the boy. It should be a responsibility.
I think it's because they don't have a 4-bedroom house.
Not my problem.
Joseph. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think another detail that is worth mentioning is that, as she's mentioned, her husband comes from money. Mm-hmm. And we've already said that money stops nonsense. Mm-hmm. So no matter what they do, her mother cannot really be fair.
True.
Because she hold the block. Not yeah. That's it. She has the money. So if she decides that she's not taking that.
But I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't want them to spend money on the problem because it's not theirs. That's. I strongly feel that way about it. I think we are stuck in black tax.
Okay. So if maybe she wants the nicer approach, uh-huh, she should just tell the mother the husband doesn't want the baby, the child.
She puts on the husband.
Yes. Ghanaian mothers respect men. Oh, if your husband said it, then I don't want to spoil the marriage. Yes. No. They do it all the time. Yeah. I think that's how.
They cannot. He's the one that has the money. He's the one that has the money. They cannot.
They never have resentment. I have seen this in my family myself. Uh-huh. They never have resentment for the man because he is rich. And then they'll just conclude that, hey, as for this child there, we can't do whatever we want because her husband will not allow us to do whatever we want. And it's very, very peaceful. You can still be your nice, cool, calm, cute daughter in their eyes. Let your husband take the heat. He has money. Everything will be fine.
No, but it's true. I'm telling you, the one that has the money, they will not.
Your mom will not carry any resentment. Do you know why?
Why?
End of the year, why a nice parcel?
Mother's Day.
One, Mother's Day. You have
Easter.
You have come and visit her. You've taken her in the car. You want to buy her some pizza. Take her to Accra Mall. Take her around. Let her enjoy a little of the money that is by virtue of in-law. She will forget about that 11-year-old. She will remember.
Wait.
I have two things. So the first thing is, where's this child's father?
Have you seen how nobody has bothered? Men always get a pass. To be fair, the person that wrote the letter didn't say anything about the father either.
Just a question.
They said a problematic auntie has disappeared.
So that's my second thing, is the child.
She going to that? Yeah, obviously she's a single mom.
This question still stands, right? Because right now, the actual issue isn't the fact that there's a 4-bedroom house that isn't being occupied properly. The issue is that there's an 11-year-old who doesn't have parents who can take care of him or her.
I feel like the father is not somebody that they can reach out to.
Well, no, that's fine. That's why I say I have two things. So the first thing is, if the father is missing in the wind, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But the child is the thing that we need to think about right now. And if she doesn't care about the child to have the child in her house, which I don't think she should, what she can offer as well would be like, okay, if they can't come and stay with me, you let me organize a meeting where we will discuss what happens with this child. Because at the end of the day, we don't actually want the child. And I'm not saying it's fine. So maybe she shouldn't even be the one to organize, but she can suggest it. Because still,
Kobe, I will tell you, that's a little too much for me. I don't want
to
be involved.
It doesn't have to be that, but the child still needs some accommodation.
You know what? Here's my thing, right? I feel you can easily get sucked into the whole idea that this is a child and the child, you know, so and so and so. Somewhere in the globe, someone else is suffering the same predicaments. I just feel, especially with the way we do things in this part of the world, as soon as you put yourself inside, every single update, you will be involved. If that child breaks their arm, hey, Ninsebu, CH in the POP, almost 1,000. I feel like, okay, it also depends on what kind of person you are. If you are always happy to help, fine. But at some point, you want to draw a line. And it's not very easy drawing a line in the side when it comes to Ghanaian households. So what... that. From the jump, you have to be disrespectful. I feel like the theme today is be disrespectful. Perceived disrespect. Oh, but a poor 11-year-old without a mother. Oh. You think he said, fuck them kids. You know, the person has disappeared. You have something to say. Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe that the child shouldn't come and stay in my
husband's house.
Yes. No. And in any case, when I was leaving my house, I was sleeping somewhere, and my mother went to say that we'll take care of the child. So the child should come and stay with my mother, and my room is there. My room is there. He can sleep in my room.
Your room is now empty.
It's empty. The child can come and sleep there. And then once in a while, maybe we'll pass by and say, oh, take something. You're taking care of the child. That's the best we can do, but not in my... No.
Your matrimonial?
Yeah. Home. No.
Hey. But is that how, for those of you who are married, is that how the early stages of your marriage was? You were always naked in the house. That's what she's saying.
Yes.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. After how many years? Hey, really? Oh, but you live in the house. Okay. Hey. Wow.
I wanted to say that, like, she needs to learn how to lie better.
Mm. What lie should she say?
Your mom knows too much about your husband's financial status and where you are and what you have.
Oh, you think they can't see it?
Oh, no.
From the wedding?
Hold on.
Okay.
The thing, there's an art to it.
Uh-huh.
If you want peace of mind, you have to feign certain things and help when you can. So, mm-hmm. Yes, your mom knows you are in a 4-bedroom house. Maybe prior to you telling them that, it could be a company house that you are living in, and not necessarily your husband's family house. Also, your mom doesn't know how you eat. You can also feel, oh yeah, it's my husband's family's money. And yeah, sika. You know, it's their money, and we are trying to start a life for ourselves, even though maybe you are benefiting directly. Because what I have seen is, provided they know you have the means, they would always find a way to rope you in. Because in their mind, you have more than enough. So you don't lose anything by giving them some of your more than enough. So if you don't start limiting how much information you are giving about how much more than enough you have, your mom will keep finding ways to rope you into
problems. You always have to dress it down.
Exactly.
If you buy a new car, you say, oh no, it's your company car.
That has been given to you. Every now and then, sprinkle, oh, the car broke down. Every now and then, oh, this car is worrying us.
And you just randomly say, Nima, why are they?
You know, recently, you cry, you do me a kanya.
Yeah. You know, you randomly call your mother, and then you say, hey, ma.
You too complain.
Why can't you say, and those boys didn't say? Hey.
I'm opposite view.
You oppose?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like for everyone, before you get married, you should be able to stand up to your parents. In the African setting, you are always a child. And it gets to a point, your parents have to see you as an adult. And that's the part we are saying about rebelling and being this. But I feel like it's not even about rebelling. They should know that this is you and this is how you are going to be. So in my marriage, my parents can never demand something of my husband. Mm. They come to me and I'm going to tell you no. That's the end. You take it or you leave it, because that is me. So that is how I deal with my parents on those terms and any other family member. If there's a funeral, my parents will say, oh, children have to contribute. And I'm like,
at this time of the month, I don't have money. I don't know the person. I'm not going to contribute.
Yeah, and it's working.
And you can't ask my husband because he is not your child. You have no rights to him. I married him and brought him into the family. So you have to be able to stand your ground and say some of those things. If you are going to get yourself hitched to someone, you have to be mature and you have to say some things. You have to
Those of you who are shy, I'm sorry. I think this is a part you haven't thought about. Knowing how to deal with in-laws. So those of you who are shy, I'm shy. This is some of the things. And it's true. Because even now, even whilst you're single, if there's a funeral or whatever, the way your parents are so, oh, it's a new warfare, we have to bring them, is crazy. I didn't even realize that's when you get into a marriage. Now it extends to your partner as well. For example, you have to come to the funeral. Come with your husband. If your husband doesn't come, hey, why? Wow. Hey, somebody's asking a question. Nathan says, what option does the child have? We have seen way too many Nigerian movies that start like this. I'm sorry. And then they'll start maltreating the child. Charlie, it's interesting, no? You have to make money. So that you can stop bullshit. You have to make money. Do you guys worry about making money? Is it constantly on your mind? Yeah. Let me tell you, sometimes when I'm making an like exuberance purchase, I always think about the unforeseen circumstances that's about to knock me. We live in constant anxiety when we spend money. Yeah? That's why most of the time it's best to spend your money when you're not sober. You wake up the next morning and be like, that happens. Yeah. No, so I just generally, away from the question, how are you guys managing the financial situation in your lives? Do you have people you borrow money from? Are you still asking your parents? Yes. What is it? Hey, yes. How old are you? What do you mean? What are they using their money
for? They have no other kids again. They are still working. I mean, if your parents are retired, that's fine. So right now, what are they using their money?
They're paying bills.
What bills?
Fuel in their car.
No.
Lights, water.
No. Like, you were paying school fees for me for how long? And now that there's space there. Yeah.
So the school fees they were paying, they should give it to you.
Yeah.
Auntie, we've been here, but why? Yeah.
My dad is spending his money on himself.
Uh-huh.
So what I wanted to do is traveling.
But you know what, Zuba, you also have given us the precursor to the fact that you have a very different household. So I feel like you don't want for things. Uska. Uska, let's go with you.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
If you don't collect the money from them.
The Ghanaian modesty is kicking in right now.
If you don't collect the money from them, somebody will swallow pin and then they'll send the money to the person. Collect the money.
What do you mean somebody will swallow pain?
It's true. Something will happen to someone.
Family members will spend their money, so you have to spend it anyway.
Meanwhile, when they grow old and like they retire, you're the one who take care of them.
But do you ever feel a way about borrowing money from your parents?
I don't.
As you're getting older.
I'm taking it. I'm not planning on paying.
You're not planning on paying?
Never.
Hey, you don't have a grandmother. You don't have a grandmother. She will take every dime. I want to hear why. I want to hear you were saying.
I think just a few unforeseen circumstances. Like, I don't want to be the reason why my parents go, like something goes wrong and I've taken so much from my parents that they're like, if Renee had not gone to buy that wig, we could have.
Not a wig, Renee. Not a wig. There are levels. There are levels. 3D, HD, frontal. Hey. The one that you can do ponytail from the back. 40 inches. Yeah.
My university, they pay for everything. Like, I feel like it's mean to take things from them at this point.
Oh, that's how you feel. Okay. Would you say that that's also because you have whatever you've done for yourself is enough for you not to reach back home for money and stuff?
Like, I mean, like, sure, but that, I think that's separate. Because, like, the perception, what I'm saying is, I appreciate what my dad has said, what my dad and my mom have.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, because if I don't need something from them, which I don't, I think that it would be unfair to ask. I won't ask them because I want, I'll ask them because I need.
Mm.
And I'm not in the situation, I'm not in their, like, space where I need.
I mean, I'm of the general opinion that you don't stop parenting. But I do know, but I do feel a way, at least when I was about 28, I started to feel a way about constantly taking money because I felt like it will mess with my aura in their eyes. No, if you are constantly taking money from your parents, they're not going to respect you. They will not see you as the boss bitch that you think you are. And that is always going to happen. And I have seen a shift in things now that I'm the one sending money sometimes. You know what I mean? So, oh, please. So, honestly, I think there's that. But yeah, I do feel it. I feel even we are socialized to not still take money from our parents after a certain age. There's people will make fun of you. But it's like, where is the money? Sometimes when I open Instagram and Snapchat, I say, where are you people seeing this money? But you know, some people save for a year to take that 2 weeks trip that they used to ginger you. Yeah. Nobody knows. You people only see the glory. You don't know the sweat. Anyway, we're winding down. Looks like we're doing an early closing today. Oh, you have something to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to say something about the 11-year-old.
Oh, okay. Oh, we are back here. I thought we said fuck them kids. Okay.
Fuck them kids for real though, but it's rather unfortunate that he's in that situation, right?
Uh-huh.
But what I'm saying is anything that will immediately inconvenience you shouldn't be your burden at the end of the day. It's like, be disrespectful because first of all, her mom was disrespectful by not telling her like, hey, this is the situation. Mm. And I know maybe your husband can like, you know, put in for us or whatever. It's just like, hey, my daughter just got married to a new guy. He's very rich and then he'll take care of everything. That doesn't make sense. So there's disrespect started from there. So I think it's fair if you disrespect back. Right? And the thing is, she just got married, right? She just got married. Give them room to enjoy like the new marriage or whatever. Maybe they just came back from honeymoon or whatever. Like,
yeah, it's been 8 months.
Give them some space. It's still something. You develop like...
No, but that's what everybody does. I saw a post on social media. It said, when you see evidence of someone rewarding themselves for their hard work, it does not invite you to beg them for money. And it's true, people do that all the time. They'll see somebody has taken a trip abroad and they feel like, okay, I can ask him for this money that I need.
And you don't make plans on someone else's budget.
Yes.
How does she know that guy has room? Maybe fine. He's rich. They have money, whatever. Maybe whatever money they have right now. He doesn't know maybe that he's making some investments or something. Or maybe he's in debt. There are people with like buildings, right? And they owe money because they've invested the money into something else. You understand? So I feel like they're being unfair to like the newly married couple. And if I was the husband, you see like, choosing yourself doesn't make you insensitive. At the end of the day, we're all like...
In Ghana. Yeah,
yes. Yes, oh, yes. You know why?
Why?
They want things to happen that way because they are the ones being selfish. They didn't even think of the new couple like, oh, you know, what might they be going through or whatsoever? It's like, oh, my daughter had a lavish wedding and then she can take care of someone who has, you know, like a...
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. At the end of the day, I feel like the right thing that should have been done was clear communication.
But I don't know. No, I would say not many Ghanaian parents have that mindset of considering. I don't know. I'm trying to say this in a very... Yeah. I feel like, you know, look, to be very fair, I feel like we spend a considerable amount of time on social media. And over there, everybody's sharing their utopia, especially Twitter. It should not be da-da-da. But when they put their phone down, they are kowtowing in their house. I swear down. Because some of the energy that social media will give you to say certain things, you know you can't say it. But anyway, guys, yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Do I have anything thoughtful to say? I feel like I'm, yes, profound. And to be fair, why are you expecting me to be profound? I feel like when you do Ghanaian things, every day they want you to end on some perspire to esper. Vote of thanks. Oh, bro, like, I'm thinking of what I'm going to eat from here. That's what I'm thinking about. Okay, let me attempt to motivate you people. Do you want motivation in romantic relationships, motivation in making money, motivation in chasing your dreams, or money? I think that you, in Accra, a lot is given to you based on a perception of you. And unfortunately for you, you're not going to be put, you're not going to be put in situations where you have to speak up for people to perceive you. So they'll only go by what you look like. Invest in your looks. Invest in your looks. Look nice. Spray nice perfume. You know, be glammed up as much as you can be. It's not necessarily like pandering to any gender. You want people to see you and see that, okay, there are some games that you don't play with this person. You know what I mean? I just think if you are looking for money, at least from what I've seen, people want to work with people that they think are serious and give a fuck about something. And so you can believe in self-expression and all of that. That's fine. But put an effort in looking, smelling good. I'm telling you, haven't you seen somebody that just looks good all the time? And because of that, you've put them on a certain pedestal. You don't know what they do. You don't know. You just see them as a serious person, right? And this advice gears towards making money. I'm not talking about love and things. If you are trying to make someone fall in love, let them see the real you. I always say a second day should be at a pool. Yes. Let's see what we are working with. Let's not, yes. You know, the clothes that we wear these days, I can wear this and I'll be hiding a lot. You know what I mean? Let's be honest with each other so that we know. You know, any, oh, I didn't know. This is my personal thing. It's not, you know, that. But yeah. I just feel like invest in the way you look, the way you, and just not the way you look, the way you come across, the way you speak. A lot of you people are getting your advice from people that are online. Is it Payday who says what's famous is rarely wise or something like that? I think we don't do a lot of research and have opinions and learn about things. Hey, they said that, then you take it. So when you go into situations where you have to do small talk, oh my God, Ghanaians suck at small talk. This is why they see you and they say, hey, why I can see you? Hey, you know, they suck at small talk. If you can distinguish yourself in a room where people are talking, and look, this is not any going between, no, but just you can have a conversation with somebody and it's not pretentious, you're not bootlicking, you set yourself apart. I just think that these are some of the things that you can do to be taken seriously. I take it from somebody that chased sponsorship for my YouTube show for 2 years and finally got it in the third year. I'm just saying. And sometimes you always have to change strategy. I told a story. I was following Jameson for money and they said, we will give you bottles. And now I had to think about how to put those bottles in the episodes and make it viral. And so that episode, I did Ghanaian pop culture. And if you take a shot, you get a clue. And definitely people are going to be tied into Home Sweet Home, Sound City, whatever. The episode came out, it did well. They called me and they said, we are sponsoring a season. So sometimes this is how you want to do something. When you are met with new information, pivots, but do it with some kind of insights, which is also why you have to have intelligent friends who have done the things that you want to have experience in, or are going in the direction that you also want to go to. Sometimes online, I see people complain about their friends and I'm like, people are still stuck on it. You people are friends with people you meet at a club all the time. You don't know their personal life. And then you decide to, you know, I feel like you have to observe. And I'm sorry, we all use each other. There's nothing wrong if you are friends with somebody strategically. I'm telling you, as long as it's a mutual friendship. No, honestly, you guys have to change your mind around. Some people be like, oh, you are using me, eh? when you call me and you are ranting about that guy for 2 hours, who are you using? Me. Look, it's Accra. Ask Anna Delvey. Yo, I've told you, one of the hustles that is slept on in this city is social climbing. I'm gonna tell you. And if you are going to be stuck in the black or white, look at Michael Jackson said, it doesn't matter if you're black or white. No, serious. About making money, I'm serious. But yeah, just invest in yourself. If you have to go to school, take an elocution class. Yeah. No matter what you want to be an artist, whatever, look the part. And maybe we take it seriously. Was that profound? I did my best. Anyway, thank you guys so much for coming to the show. Until the next one. We should be playing music. They should be like, doom, 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 doom. Oh. Who got our backs when we got them pinned against the wall? Fighting the checks and balances, letting them swim while we crawl. The enemies, lining their pockets for centuries. The bigger they get, the harder we fall. The blame is for speaking our agony. So run and fight, testify, truth or dare, we know they lie. Find a light in the dark, hide your face, you'll see our scars.
Yeah, on my own, you know I'm best at finding me. I chased success when out your day was chasing dreams. Don't pick the phone, I'm not at home, you know what I mean. I'm out here chasing what's for us and what's for me. Goddamn, goddamn, never did I fit in God's plans. On the crossroads do I stand, and the devil wanna be bros, and I never did that dance, and I never took that stance. I'ma make it, baby, what the game, shake it when the boy about to get that goal. Belly, I can be come to me in my face. Buy me, no choke, me. Oh, no trouble, I can be come to me in my face. Buy me, no choke, me. Oh, no trouble, I can be come to me in my face. Buy me, no choke, me. Oh, no trouble, I can be come to me in my face. Buy me, no choke, on my own, you know I'm best at finding me. I chase success when out your day was chasing dreams. Don't pick the phone, I'm not at home, you know what I mean. I'm out here chasing what's for us and what's for me.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.